the folks they all meet down in New Orleans. Land of dreams by their buds, bands that home of business.
Ah, Satchmo. He was a native of New Orleans. Grew up there in Storyville. Storyville's gone, but Mardi Gras Day lives on right now. Fat Tuesday, 2018. Boy, oh boy, are they drinking and being merry in New Orleans for the next few hours, and then boom comes, well, Valentine's Day. Well, also Ash Wednesday, 2018, and that will change our outlook and demeanor over the next day or so, but not now, because today is Mardi Gras Day, and on the other end of our line from Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing, the good doc, DrJohnB.com, Dr. John Braccio, Sr. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave.
Happy Mardi Gras. Yeah, happy Mardi Gras Day. Have you ever been to Mardi Gras, New Orleans?
I have not done that yet. That is one thing I may do sometime in the future, but I've not done it yet, but I hear it's amazing.
In some ways, yes. I mean, if you go in the French Quarter, it's amateur hour. But, you know, the street parades by some of the local folks who do the local crews, they call them, they're pretty cool. And the whole city's just got, last April I got to see some of the Mardi Gras Indians after regular Mardi Gras do their thing on Bayou St. John. And this is African Americans addressed as Native Americans. And they mix it all up into a gumbo of politically non-correct stuff that's just quite a sight. But uniquely American. I'll put it that way. But you know what? There's something about Mardi Gras that says, you know, everything's on the plate. It's wide open, and you don't worry about too much. You don't play the what-ifing game. The what-ifing game, that starts, especially if you're Catholic, tomorrow. You say, what if? What if I do this in my life? What if I do this in my life? And if you go too far with that, not the religious side, but just saying, well, what about this possibility or that? Coming up with every possible thing that could go wrong, you're not going to get much done. You may not even get out of your room. What ifing? You see this. It's a problem, isn't it?
See it all the time, Dave. In fact, oddly, as we were getting ready for this, three people I saw yesterday were all what ifing. What if something happens? And life is complicated enough in the present without ruining the present about something that might happen in the future. And this is actually the mere opposite, if you think of it, of those who ruin the present focusing on what happened in the past. You know, I think it's reasonable you anticipate a probable problem that might occur. Okay, something could occur, but one you can prepare for. But anticipate everything that might happen, regardless of how highly improbable it is, just leads to anxiety, can lead to worrying, and just really can have paralysis for a person that they're not able to really function. So you really have to come up with strategies and ideas to overcome this, because if you don't, if you worry about all the things that happen, then you're really going to suffer. And I think if you talk to anybody at the end of their life and you talk to them about worry, they would say, you know, most things I worried about never happened, but I was always worrying that they might happen. So I think what we do, we have to think about thought stopping, rational emotive therapy, you know, changing the way we look at things, cognitive restructuring, thought substitution, and common probability of what may happen, and try to put this in our mind. So we really have to kind of develop a whole new set of habits in the form of thinking reasonably, rationally. But just to say that, most people that are what-ifing all the time, they know that they're not reasonable. They just say, well, it could happen. It might happen. What if someone doesn't like me? What if this doesn't go well? What if people are listening to me when I'm talking? What if people don't like, et cetera, et cetera? There's no limit to the things that you might what if about. I call it the what if disease, and certainly leads to a lot of visits to medical and psychologists and therapists to the offices because of what ifing and what it does to the body to the mind.
Do you and when you visit, you mentioned here people who are at end of life. You've had clients who are still seeking psychological help, and yet maybe they're quite elderly or they've had different illnesses. Do you find it true what some have said, that people, when they're getting close to the end, they know they're close to the end, it's not what they've done that they regret, it's the things they didn't do?
That is true. That is true. I think when people can focus on that they've been good family people, they've had a good spiritual life, they've made the world better, they're at peace. But with that said, the idea of what they might have done, what they wish they had done. Sure, it is a complaint. Now, sometimes it can be people have done so many things, but they still want to do more. But I think in the case of most people, they have restrained themselves, not done enough things that they wanted to do, put it off for another day, and then another day didn't come. So I do believe within reason, in a life, you do want to do the, you know, follow your dreams, do the things that you'd really like to do, as long as you're not hurting others, you're trying to advance
right.
yourself in life. I think it's a great thing to do. In fact, not even just the end of the life. There are plenty of people in jobs and positions, relationships, that if they could replay life, they would replay things very differently, to which I indicate to them if they're anxious or depressed about it. But you don't know what would have happened. You think this would have been a better opportunity, but since you didn't do it, you have to play the cards you have. You have to live the life you have, make it as successful as you can. And if you can alter, change things in a way to make your life better or more fulfilled, then that's something to do. But people that relive life or want to relive life, that's another anxiety producer, another what-if-er, but that relates more to what we didn't do in the past, rather as opposed
right.
to worrying about what might happen tomorrow.
Yeah, and like you said, they're really two, almost the flip side, the mirror image of one to the other. So what do you tell people who play the what-if game? What kind of counsel do you offer? I know every case is individual and unique, but there must be some general things that come in that you do to help people focus on if they're going to play what if, make it the probable and not the improbable or the irrational, which can be too easy to get caught up on.
That's right. And what I talk to people about is just calling a time out in their own mind, okay, and just even taking a break, listen to some music, can use a hypnosis CD we have on our website, which is no cost, just to be able to relax. Put your mind off what you're worrying about, okay, then come back, and you can then also thought substitute, cognitive restructuring. When something is coming, a thought, I just know people aren't going to like my presentation tomorrow. You just have to really be saying, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to give a presentation, and people are going to like it. And then you can even go a step further. If for some reason it doesn't go well, then I will learn how not to give a speech. That's another way to give a talk or whatever it might be. But it could be anything. You're going to see Aunt Beulah tomorrow. You're going to see some friends, and you're worried about what might happen. So thought stopping is one. I think another is trying to talk about common probability. What really might happen? And then also, what if the worst thing does happen? What if you do run into someone who is a fault finder, like you're going to meet with your boss and he or she
right.
makes some negative comments? I think you just have to say, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? And how would you deal with that? But if you're just going in for, say, a three-month evaluation, and you think you're going to be fired, you've never been fired, you've been here 25 years, the probability of that happening is very, very small. But there are people that think, well, what's going to happen all the time, the what-ifing. So I do try to talk to people about positive thinking, also the rational emotive, call it what you will. This is another form of cognitive restructuring where you try to refocus a person on thoughts that are more rational, more reasonable, and try to work with the person by, I don't know if convincing is the word, but letting them see
yeah.
that dealing with probability as opposed to the absolute worst. Like if you're going to take a trip, this would be another one. You're going to get in your car and you're going to drive to New York, and you have a car that's very reliable, but you're worried. Is something going to break down, and what will I do? Well, you can even make the point, well, if that were to happen, you know, you've got a phone, you know, you have a credit card, you have some money in your wallet. I mean, you will get by even if that were to happen. And there are people that anticipate all these things that might happen. It's kind of the famous one that I've used before. It's like your child goes off to school and you call Friday night and your child is there, and you afterwards you say on a Friday night, gee, doesn't anyone like him or her? I mean, my goodness, what's going on here? Are they alone, lonely? Then you call the next Friday and your child's out and you say, are they drinking? Are they partying? Are they with bad people? What's going on? So it doesn't matter what your child is doing. If you're going to be what-ifing, you're going to find fault or problems with what's going on there. You have to roll with life. You have to realize.
Right. It's absolutely true.
And also,
true.
Even asking the question, what were your great-great-great-grandparents thinking about 125 years ago? What were they worried about? The answer is, well, Dr. Bradshaw, how would anyone know? I'd say, that's right. That it was that important as what you're worrying about today. So put everything in perspective.
I tell you what they were worrying about. They were wondering where the next meal was going to come from. That's what they were worrying about. what do we got over the head today? That's what they were worrying about, not turning the key on something that moves down the road. And you know, and I think about that with the what-if game as a parent. You just mentioned it. And compare that comparison. I just had number two launch, and successfully. But I go, I wonder, living out there, will she have X, Y, or Z? And I thought, well, what about yourself 30 years ago? You didn't have these things. You were driving cross country in a jalopy with, without a credit card and without a phone, and you were, casting your fate to the wind. Well, I think things are probably going to be okay. Take a cleansing breath and move from there. You can find, as the doc says, that hypnosis and meditation is on the website. You can always hear the podcast, drjohnb.com. Don't play the what if game, play the probability game. But don't make it the impossible 24/7. Always good to talk to you, my friend, on Mardi Gras Day 2018.
Dave, excellent thoughts, and I like the way you sum some things up. Look forward to talking to you later.